turn with me. I'm going to start with Joshua 1 and 8. Joshua 1 and 8. We've been talking about principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, and having done all to stand and taking up our armor and what that means. And you know, when you're talking about principalities and powers and things like that from the scripture, people get real timid. When the truth is, you've been given authority over all power and dominion on this earth. You Christians have been given authority, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. Well, what is that knee talking about? That's talking about everything that's in the created order. Every knee must bow to the name of Jesus. And you know, there is a day coming, and coming very soon, when every eye will see and every tongue will confess. For some of us, it'll be a wonder. It'll be wonderful. It'll be joyful. For others, it will be a forced submission that would have been a whole lot better had they yielded themselves to Jesus while they were still on this earth. Amen? But the truth of the matter is that He is the head above all things. Amen. And our job is to talk about His grace and His mercy and His goodness so that people will want to receive Him. Amen. Now, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." The Amplified Bible says, in that last part of it, it says, "For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will deal wisely and have good success." Another translation says, "Deal wisely in the affairs of life." Well, if you deal wisely in the affairs of life, you can't help but make a success in life. The biggest problem we have is our foolishness. I said the biggest problem we have is our foolishness. I noticed that on the news this spring, how many of you remember the CEO who decided he was going to give $70,000 to every... Do you know they're in trouble now? Do you want to know why they're in trouble? Because you can't walk outside of wisdom and expect blessing. It don't work. In our own lives, it's the same way. We have a whole society that is pushing away the bands of God and expecting to walk in blessing, and it don't work. I said it don't work. Do you know when you look at a family that's blessed and happy and prosperous, I'm going to tell you what's happening. Somewhere in there, someone's doing the word. When you see Elaine and I live in 41 years in peace together, and people think, "Oh, you have a good marriage," and they think, "Oh, I can't do that." The truth is, anybody can do what we did. Because what we did was we applied the word of the scriptures to our marriage. Amen. You're not going to be blessed in cohabiting. You're saying to wisdom, "I don't need you." Yeah. Yeah. So our lifestyle, and you know, God, He just sits in heaven and He just keeps doing what He does. He blesses those that yield themselves to Him. Yeah. And He knows the day is coming when He's going to have to judge, you know. And He don't want to do that. Actually, what He wants to judge is He wants to judge you in Christ so that you're filled with the blessing of Christ. Amen? The inheritance of Christ. So, blessing comes, our success comes, and it's not dependent upon our status in life. It's not dependent on the school you go to. It's not dependent on your intelligence. It's dependent upon you meditating in the scriptures so that you can see what you must do in this life. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us to succeed and to be blessed in our life. Amen. He wants us a blessing. He wants us blessed so we can be a blessing to the kingdom of God, first of all, but to the people that are around us, second of all. Amen. We can get so full of the Word of God that the Spirit guides us and leads us in all the affairs of this life. And unless the believer renews his mind, unless the believer, do we have any believers here? Let me see believers. Yeah, see, we're not just blessed because we're believers. We're blessed because we're a doer of the word. There are a lot of believers that claim Jesus, but they're not doing the word of God. And they wonder why the blessing is not there. And so let me get to my point. The Holy Ghost, he wants to lead us. He wants to guide us into our life. He wants to lead us out of the snares and the traps of the devil. And you know they're out there? I said, do you know they're out there? Amen. Amen. And unless the believer renews his mind, he'll think like the world. He'll act like the world. He'll speak like the world. He'll be miserable and defeated. And wonder why, where are you at, God? And God is where he's been at all along, sitting in the throne. He sent his word. He's expecting us to take the word, take it up, and live our life according to the word so that we can be blessed. Amen. You know, people that don't meditate in the word day and night, they've been born again, of course. They don't make a good sinner. They're not thrilled with sin in their life. They're miserable when they do things that their own heart is offended by. And so they don't make a good sinner. And of course, the whole issue of being a good Christian happens when you control your body and when you renew your mind. And so they don't make a good Christian. They're somewhere in between. And they're not happy. And you know, much of what has been called demonic is not demonic at all. I want to say it again. Much of what's been called demonic is not demonic at all. It's the fruit of believers' unredeemed soul, and it's the fruit of allowing your body to be in control. Amen. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. Amen. So the greatest thing that you can do in your life as a Christian is to take this book and say, this is my book of life. I'm going to live this to the best of my ability. Now, how do we live it? How do we live it? What are the things that we do with this word? Well, the first thing is we're going to have to change the way we think. We're going to have to change the way we think. Amen. Have you noticed that one reason that people get depressed is they think on wrong thoughts?
That's right.
Yeah. You think about your past. You think about how you missed it. You think about how dirty those people did to you. You know, those dirty Dans in life, and everybody's got those kind of people. People who you thought they loved you and they stabbed you in the back. Yeah. But the more you think about that, the sadder you become. And you could get to the place where you're completely depressed. And someone will say, well, they're oppressed of the devil. We need to pray for them so that that oppression lifts. Some people would say that. But the reality is this person has opened the door to the devil. And we need to learn how to shut the door on anything devilish in our life. The scripture says this. Put off concerning the former conversation. That's what you were before. Put it off. Put off the old man, which is corrupt. Everyone say, the old man's corrupt.
The old man's corrupt.
Yeah, the old man's corrupt. What are we supposed to do with it? We're supposed to put it off. And then it says, I'm in Ephesians 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. Everybody say new man.
New man.
See, we got to take something off. We got to put something. Now, that always sends me into a memory. I used to work at Monica's Pizza Parlor. And back in those days, they gave us one tunic to wear. One. We had one tunic, which meant this: if you worked every night of the week, you washed that. You didn't wash that thing, there was a problem. I noticed that when I came out of the pizza parlor, I stunk like a pizza. I'd walk in the room, everyone would say, that smells so good, you know. It didn't smell good to me. I wanted to get it off. And you could almost take that tunic off and set it in the corner and it would stand up. It's not a pretty thought, is it? Well, that's the picture of your old mind, your old man. There's nothing pretty about your old man. Do you know, I don't want to shock everybody, but you know I know how to cuss? Did you know that preachers could cuss? Now, why don't they? Because they put off the old man. No, it's because you're a preacher. If that's the only reason, then you have no business being here. I'm not here trying to impress you.
That's right.
But thank God Jesus died for Kenny Young.
Amen.
And the best thing that ever happened to me was learning how to live God's way of living. Now, am I perfect at it? No. You know, some years ago when we had just bought the new van, our new van is now 14 years old. We just bought that. I'm driving down the road. Man, Emily, I'm going down the road thinking, this is really nice. And I noticed in my rearview mirror, some teenage kids were passing me, and they all had this big grin on it. I thought, what in the world are they doing? Do you know, Emily, they cut me off on purpose. And you know something came up. You know what I mean? I mean, it came up real quick. I was gonna speed up. I was going to pull out in front of them. I was going to get out. I was going to grab them. And then you would have said, my preacher's in jail. No, I didn't do that. Now, it came up, but you know what I did? I was real proud of myself. I really was. I was happy with myself because all of a sudden, Lord bless those kids. They don't know what they're playing with there. Man, I won't tell you all the ones I didn't win, but at any rate. The point is, we got to put all of that off. Amen. We got to put that off. We've got to renew our mind. We've got a new way of thinking. Now, in that scripture verse, there's a verse in verse 27 that says, neither give place to the devil. You can have prayed the prayer of faith to receive Jesus and give place to the devil. How many of you have been to churches and noticed that there are some people that are not always pretty? Did you ever notice that? You know, the world laughs at the churches that are in some kind of factions with one another. They laugh at those kind of things. But the truth is, unless people renew their mind, we're going to be more like the old man than the new man. Amen? Thinking wrong thoughts is one way that believers give place to the devil. Amen. So let me name some things that we have to deal with in our thought life. We have to deal with guilt. Playing with the thought of guilt, listening to the thought of guilt, is one way that the devil tries to gain control of your life. Yeah, the other one that goes along with it, condemnation, worry, anxiety. In any form, these things are all devilish thoughts. And you know, the enemy would just love believers to think on the negative side of life. If he can get us to think on the negative side of life long enough, he can get us to the point where we even think about suicide. Christians. And someone says, well, they need the devil cast out of them. No, what they need to do is to learn how to shut the door on the devil and devilish thoughts. Some well-meaning Christians would say, well, we need to come and cast the devil out. But the truth is, unless that person learns how to shut the door in the long run, he'll end up in worse shape. It would answer so many problems for us today if, you know, in regards to the devil, for a Christian, just to ask this question: what does God's word have to say about my situation? The renewed mind thinks and acts and holds to God's word. And as long as the believer does these things, Satan can gain no access into our life. Now, in another area we can open the door is by harboring unforgiveness. harboring unforgiveness in our hearts. We're going to have to learn how not to dwell on our past mistakes, and we're going to have to learn how to not to dwell on the mistakes and the past of others. You know what? I love you guys. You realize that? But I know so much about you, I could make it bad for you. But you know I would never do that. Because love covers the multitude of sin. Right? That's very frustrating for me when I hear of people accusing someone else in church. People that Jesus has died for. I remember I got a call, and I won't tell you who, because it's somebody that I love very much, and this person now is walking with Jesus, and when I say walking with Jesus, he's doing well today, all right? But at the time, he was mad at somebody in the church, and so he called me up, and he started saying, "Let me tell you about your people," and man, he just spewed all this stuff out about my people, and I started crying. See, I really do love you. I started crying. I said to his name, I said, "Jesus died for that church. Aren't you willing to die for them?" You know, the truth of the matter is that when we're looking at one another, we're not looking at mere people. When I see little Maddie there, right there, child of the living God, joint heir with Jesus Christ, she is somebody very precious that Jesus died for.
That's right.
Amen. See, we're talking about thinking properly. One of the areas that we can open ourselves to the devil is this area of unforgiveness. And let me say to you, if you've made a mess, and who hasn't? Who hasn't? I've made messes. Have you made messes? Yeah. Yeah. You do with messes? Well, you put them under the blood. And God chooses to put them in the sea of forgetfulness. And God's not going to go digging around in the sea of forgetfulness looking for your mess. Right? Yeah. If you've made mistakes, and who hasn't, and you've asked God's forgiveness, God chooses not to remember. So why should you remember? Here's the verse for that. Isaiah 45 says in verse 25, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember thy sins." I will not remember thy sins. Turn with me to Psalms 32. I had an experience with somebody that I'm very close to, and this person in their past life had to deal with abortion and had aborted a child. And so this is 10 years after this incident had happened in their life. And they came to church on that particular Sunday, and then after church, I'm talking to them, and this person just begins an uncontrollable weeping. You know, sometimes the truth is that when you're around people that are, what's the word I want to use, that have the presence of God, it touches things in your heart and you don't even know why. This person didn't even know why at first. And so they began to just pour their heart out over this 10-year-old issue of God can't forgive me because I've killed another living being. And this was a mother. And so I let her speak for a little while, and you know, while she's speaking, I'm talking to the Lord. "Okay, Lord, you got to give me a word for her. You got to give me a word." And so he gave me Psalms 32. Notice that Psalms 32 talks about a blessedness. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring. all the day long. Now, I want you to know what was going on with her was all this time she had bottled this up, and now for the first time she's confessing it before the Lord. I was the face, but God was the one that she was confessing it to. And so I read her this scripture, and in verse 5, notice it says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest me the iniquity of my sin. Selah. I read that to her, and I said, I want you to know that sin is covered. It is now under the blood. And I said, not only so, but notice the next verse. Now notice the next verse. I just love this. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee. You know, I used to think godliness meant I never sinned. Godliness means that we do what God wants us to do in every given situation of our life. And if you sin, what does God want you to do? He wants you to confess your sin before Him, and He wants you to follow Him. He doesn't want you to quit. He doesn't want you to stop because you're not perfect. He wants you to confess. And He wants you to receive. See, what He wants is He wants you to live on this earth like sin never existed in your life. How do we do that? He puts it in the sea of forgetfulness. See, this is one of the big areas. I don't know if you know it, but the mental hospitals, a lot of them are dealing with people whose sin is at the forefront of all their thinking. And so they have assumed that all religion must be bad. No, the issue is they're not thinking the thoughts of God. God so loved you that Jesus went to the cross to die for your sin, so that it would no longer be at the forefront, that it would be remitted. Everyone say remitted. Yeah, amen. So this is an area of the enemy. He's been called the accuser of the brethren. Anytime you hear accusation in your head, say it out loud. I just heard the devil talking to me. And say this, and I'm not going to listen to a word of it. Amen. If you've made mistakes, and who hasn't, ask God for forgiveness. And God chooses not to remember. He puts your sin, He blots it out, and He puts it in the sea of forgetfulness. He will not remember for His own sake. He will not remember. Now, incidentally, if you go on to read there, I want you to notice it says, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Everyone say songs of deliverance. Now here's what the Amplified says of that verse. That the Lord is throwing garlands of hosannas around your neck. So get the picture. You're just miserable because of your sin. And so you confess your sins to God. What does He do? He throws garlands of hosannas around your neck. I think that's a pictorial way of looking at your forgiveness, the way God looks at forgiveness. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, this is an area that the devil, he'll do his best. The devil's always trying to bring your past up. You just remind him of his future. Amen. And you remind him that your past has been put under the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, there's another area that we tend to give the devil place in us, and that's with our bodies. Everyone say our bodies. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've got just enough time to cover this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. I want you to notice that in verses 4 and 5 here, it says, In whom the God of this world, little g, this is not talking about God our Father. This is talking about the prince of the power of the air. This is talking about Satan. In whom the God, little g, of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, big G, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves servant for Christ's sake. Now, with your body, everyone say, with your body. Yeah, and slap yourself nice, okay? With your body, all right, you contact, through your five physical senses, you contact this world. And this natural world is ordered right now by the God, the little g, of the world. Who is that? That is Satan. I could go a little bit farther into that, but we've covered that for, I think 2 weeks ago, we covered that pretty well. How that Adam gave the enemy of our salvation, gave him place in this world. And he will have place until his lease runs out. Amen. Thank God for that day. That'll be a wonderful day. Amen. That'll be a wonderful day. Until then, your body is in contact with this world, with its five physical senses, and the enemy will do his best to use your physical senses against you. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 2 says this, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world. The course of this world is flowing completely opposite of the course of God, the plan of God. The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience. Now, I have in the footnote of my Bible, and I'm going to read it to you, talking about cosmos. Everyone say cosmos. Now, this is in my good Baptist Bible. This is my Schofield with all of his wonderful study notes, and he has some great study notes. But he's talking about this issue of living under the impulse of the world, which of course is controlled by Satan. Now this verse, the verse that he inserts this these notes in, has to do with. Let me just read to you just a couple of verses here. They worshiped the dragon. I'm in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 4. They worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who shall be able to make war with him? And then there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue for 40 and 2 months. And he opened his mouth, blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his name, his tabernacle, and them which dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, this note was inserted. Let me read to you the note. Cosmos. In the sense of the present world system, the ethically bad sense of the word refers to the order, arrangement, under which Satan has organized the world of unbelieving mankind upon his cosmic principles of force, greed, selfishness, ambition, and pleasure. These are issues you'll deal with in your body. I want to say it again. Greed, ambition. See, in my generation, I was trained by a man who was very, very ambitious, to the point where everything was about being number one. If he had anything, it was the best. It was the biggest. He spent the most for it. You know what's interesting about all of that? Do you realize that the day we fly from this earth, everything stays here? Yeah. People live for that dollar, and they don't realize it's not going to help them in eternity. Not one little bit. Yeah. So greed is something you're going to have to deal with, right? Am I right? Yeah. Yeah, greed. Let me just read it again. Greed. Selfishness. Children, do you want to know why your mother and your father discipline you? It's because God can't bless selfishness. For Hannah to be blessed, she's going to have to learn how to love, to forgive, and to work with other people. And if her life revolves all around her, and there's nobody bigger than her, then her life's going to be a mess. So her grandma, her mom and dad, the people that love her, they don't let her get her way on purpose. If they love her. If they let her get her own way, they don't know what real love is. And so we train our children how to be people that sacrifice for people and love others and put others before them. It's the principles we talk about, but it's kind of hard to keep at times, isn't it? Yeah. Now, see, these are the issues that we deal with in this flesh that we live in. Ambition, pleasure. Everyone say pleasure. Pleasure. You know, people spend millions for movies, videos, and games, and spend peanuts for church. Now, it says something. Amen. That says something. We need to check what we're really living for. Yeah. And so the Bible tells us and gives us instructions what to do with our bodies. He said to present your body. Okay, how do I present my body? A living sacrifice. What does that mean? Lord, I'm all yours. Whatever you want me to do. Yeah. Lord, any way I can be a blessing, I'm going to be a blessing. How many of you believe that? That's how you want to live. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, Steve has been very blessed in his job, but I'll tell you why he's been blessed in his job, because he's wanting to be a blessing for that job. He's doing his very best, and he keeps getting promoted. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Yeah. He works hard. He sacrifices for them, and they're blessing him. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Holy and acceptable unto God. Holy and acceptable unto God. Now, how many of you have caught yourself saying, if I was to call you up tomorrow, Colleen Grace, I'm not far from you. We're just gonna come over to visit. Would that be a crisis? Would that be a crisis? Put away the beer. No. Would that be a crisis? I hope not. But now think about it this way. What if God really were with you every moment of your existence? And you want to please me, and I know you guys, you're just a real blessing to us, but there's somebody much bigger than us. Amen. Acceptable not to Ken. Acceptable not to the preacher. Acceptable to God. Present your body acceptable to God. You know, Maddie, when you're mad and angry, that's not acceptable to God, honey. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable to God. You know what God wants? God wants you. God wants you filled with love, filled with joy, filled with praise. Amen. Yes, he forgives us, but he doesn't change what he wants for us after he's forgiven us, right? Amen. He wants all the children to say, I love you, Mom. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And obeying their parents. Parents, you want me to keep preaching that, right? Amen. Yeah, because it's right. And the scripture says there's a blessing added to obeying your parents. Right, Daniel? blessing. Blessing for help, helping mother. Blessing. There's a blessing added to it. See, God, it's not Pastor Ken. Busted. No, it's not Pastor Ken. God is right there in that household. When you're speaking to your mother, when you're speaking to your father. Yeah. When you're speaking to your teacher. When you're speaking to the police officer. Hello, anyone out there? See, we're talking about how we give place to the devil, Christians, all right? So present your body a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice to God. To God. And the Bible says it's only reasonable because Jesus died for you. Colossians 3 and 5 tells us that we crucify the deeds of the body. Crucify, what is that all about? Crucifying. Well, I'm going to talk to young men. Young men, what happens to your eyes when young ladies come around? How are you looking at those young ladies? Are you looking at them as sisters? God forbid that you would look at them any other way. See, we're talking about crucifying our flesh. We have a flesh. You're not, young men, you have thoughts that are contrary to God. That don't mean you got a devil. That means you got a flesh. Yeah. It means you got a flesh. You don't need to come up to Pastor Ken, would you cast the devil out of me? I don't want to think those kind of thoughts anymore. No. You control your thoughts with the Word of God. Amen. We can walk in the Spirit, saints. Amen. We can walk in the Spirit. Now, I don't know how to wind out of this. You know what I'm saying? Let's do this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. This will be our last verse. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I want you to notice what the great apostle Paul had to say about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9:27. Everyone say the great apostle Paul. Yeah. You know, in my opinion, this is one of the great builders of the church. Now, there are a lot of them. There are a lot of them. But this man wrote most of the New Testament that you have. The majority of the text that you have was written by this man. And you remember that he was on the Damascus Road, heading to Damascus to kill Christians and to put them in prison. And the Lord appeared to him, and he had a, I can't say a wonderful experience, because it wasn't wonderful, but it was a life-changing experience. Amen? I want you to notice what he has to say here. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Now, this is in context with you have a body, control it. Everyone say out loud, I have a body,
I control it.
Yeah, I have a body, I control it. All right, here's the Apostle Paul. He said, I keep under my body. Isn't that something? The I here is referring to Paul. Actually, Paul's spirit, if we could say it that way. I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So here's the Apostle Paul. He's saying about himself that even he has to control his body. He has to keep his body under the control of his spirit. Amen. If the great Apostle Paul had to bring his body under subjection to his spirit, what about you? Yeah, amen. Amen. And not obeying this passage of Scripture is one major way that believers unknowingly give access to the devil in their lives, when they allow their bodies or their flesh to dominate rather than allowing their spirit to have the control. Amen. And you're going to have to make the decision, Christian, to renew your mind and control your body. And you know what? God's not going to do it for you. Scripture didn't say God's going to make you control your body. He said, you present your body. You renew your mind. Amen. And see, God knows that without submitted bodies and transformed minds, the believers will end up looking more like the devil than Jesus. Amen. They'll be body ruled, sense ruled, and believers like that are an open door and have no defense against Satan. But the scripture teaches us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How are we going to be strong in the Lord? Renew your mind. Don't allow yourself to think like the world. If there are areas in your life that you think like the rest of the world, you better get on your prayer knees. Yeah. Because there's not one worldly thought that we're allowed to have in our head. Amen. Amen. And God wants us free from every darkness in this world. Amen. Every one of us. Let's pray. We'll stop there. I could go on. You know, for example, don't blame God for your carnality, or don't blame Satan for your carnality, you know. We'll have people that want to have hands laid on them, you know, because they're having trouble with the devil, you know, when the reality is they're going to have to shut the door. They're going to have to shut the door. And there we'll have others who think they must not even be a Christian at all to have those kind of thoughts. And the truth is they just need to learn to shut the door. Some Christian, you know, the devil will say to you, some Christian you are. And he wants you to walk away from the church. When the truth is, God just wants you to shut the door. That brings up an old picture. When I was Hannah's age, I watched a horror flick called, I think it was called The Box. The Box. And it was about this, he wasn't a mad scientist, he was a scientist, and he was about to be married to this beautiful girl, and they were involved in a car accident, and her head was cut off, and so he put the head in the box, and he kept her alive. Yeah, yeah. Well, the interesting thing about this stupid show, now see, I was only Hannah's age, so it scared the fire out of me, you know. I mean, I think about it now, and I just laugh. I just laugh. But the interesting thing was, when her head got put in that box, all of a sudden she had superpowers. And she could control you with her mind. As long as the lid to the box was open. But you know what the answer was? Shut the lid on the box. You couldn't do a thing. Yeah. Well, I hope you'll remember that to remember this. Don't let the enemy control you. And control your mind, your thoughts, the impulses of your body. You're going to have to shut the lid on the box. Amen. I'll stop there. Thank you, Father, your goodness. Thank you, Father God, that you've given us just exactly what we need to succeed on this earth. And the issue for every one of us, is to present our bodies and to renew our minds. For every one of us, whether we're young, whether we're old, the issue of the Christian life is putting the word in and running the darkness off. By your Spirit, you lead us to do that. We learn the word in songs like we did with VBS, Father God. We learn the word by memory. We learn the word, Lord, by our daily study and our prayer, Father God. But you have so many avenues that lead to our success and our strength. And every day of our life, Father God, you're with us to help us to do those two things so that we can shut the lid on the box. I ask your blessing on these people, Father God. May there be a new, if I could use revival, a new revival of putting the Word first place in our life. I ask your blessing in Jesus' name. I thank you for your grace in this week ahead. And all the saints said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll dismiss with that. Why don't you go ahead and stand up and give somebody a great big hug and tell them that you appreciate them. Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed.